John chapter 18. If you were with us last week, we looked at the last part of verse 12 there, where the scripture says that the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And we looked all at what that means, the background of that, the history of it. So this morning we look forward. Okay, last week we looked back at what caused this, and now we're going to look forward this morning. So let's begin reading in verse 13 of John chapter 18. First, they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter, verse 15, Simon Peter, one of the 12, followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. We'll look at this another time, but in all likelihood, that's John. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door, so that the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" he said. "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Verse 19, the high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me and what I said to them. They know what I said." When he said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. We're going to look this morning at denying Jesus. Think about it, just days earlier, like about less than a week, Palm Sunday we call it, just days earlier, and for 3 years, everyone wanted to be with Jesus. Everyone wanted to be identified with Jesus. The crowds were huge. Now, obviously, the reason they wanted to be with Jesus is because Jesus was meeting their needs, or had met their needs. He fed them, healed them, raised them from the dead. But everybody wanted to be with Jesus. It was the end thing to do. Today, the kids would say, or they did a little while ago, I never can keep up with what the kids say, okay? It was cool to be with Jesus. And in large part, his popularity was due to the fact of what he can do for me. If we were to interview all those thousands who wanted to be up close to Jesus and who fought to get close to him and touch the hem of his garment, etc., etc., basically it came down to what can he do for me. Now, if you've been with us as we study through the book of John, we have come to the time of his arrest in the garden. Last week we looked at he was arrested and bound. After his arrest, nobody wants to be with Jesus. In less than a week, we go from hundreds, thousands, I don't know, of people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And now no one wants to have anything to do with Jesus. And many of them that we're going to look at denied him. They not only vacated his presence, they, when confronted, will say they don't even know him. You see, truth is, knowing Jesus and following Jesus and identifying with Jesus is still controversial. The very things that we're going to look at in some of these folks' lives are the very things we see perhaps in our lives. This thing of denying Jesus. You see, whether they denied Jesus or whether they gravitated to Jesus had to do with the situation. I'm hungry. Feed me, Jesus. My child is sick. Heal my child, Jesus. And so they wanted to be identified with Jesus when it was opportunistic for them to be. But when it came down to being bound and arrested and hauled into the authorities, Truth of the matter is, folks, from God's perspective, following Jesus can never be situational. We're going to look at that a little more in depth here in just a second. In fact, Jesus says over in Matthew 10:33, "Everyone who denies me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven." That gets down to where it hurts, doesn't it? "Everyone who denies me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven." So this morning, as we work through the latter part of the book of John, we come to several folks who denied Jesus. We read about some of them just now. And as I guess you might guess, we won't be able to do that this morning in total. In fact, we're going to have to spend about the next 3 weeks, okay? This morning we're going to look at some people denied Jesus because of who they are. That's what we're going to focus on today. Next Sunday, by God's grace, we're going to look at the fact that some people denied Jesus because of where they have been. And then finally, some people denied Jesus because of what he teaches. So this morning we want to focus on that first point. Some denied Jesus because of who they are. Now, I don't want to get too personal this morning, and I don't want to see any hands, so, you know, you can sit here anonymously if you want to do that. But have you ever heard or maybe said Jesus or something like this, "Jesus is controversial"? In certain circles, I have to be careful about letting folks know that I'm a Christian or a follower of Jesus or a disciple, however you want to say it. In certain circles, I kind of have to keep that to myself. You see, it hurt business. My business would be compromised if I were to be very aggressive in letting folks know that I know Jesus. You know, it could influence my job. I might not be on the promotion list. Might even get fired if I let people know that I'm a follower of Jesus. If I'm a Christian, if I'm a disciple. Hurt my relationship with my family. You don't understand my in-laws. Man, if I go to the in-laws and I talk about Jesus, they're packing my bags. Or even closer to home, I don't bring that subject up around my husband or my wife, whatever the case may be. It's just something we don't deal with. I just kind of keep it to myself. There's a group of people in our passage today denied Jesus because of who they were. The Jews. The Jews denied knowing Jesus or being identified with him or being a disciple of his. That's really what they did. And so we focus on the Jews this morning, some by name, specific people. And what I came up with in looking at these folks in this passage, in these verses in John, these are really just a bunch of confused religious zealots. They were a big deal. But they're just a bunch of bumbling religious zealots is the best I can do for them. You'll see in just a minute as we work through this. Think about this, though. These folks, these Jews, okay, a high priest, former high priest, you know, some big deals in that group, they knew the law and the prophets. They knew the Bible for them. They were Bible scholars, we would say today. They knew the law, they knew the prophets, and not only did they know by memory most of what we would call the Old Testament, they had contrived a whole lot of rules and dictates and patterns for worship, etc., that they were experts in and only they knew about. We're not talking about some just guys off the street. We're talking about some, for that day, some well-learned individuals. And they knew God's Word for that time. They spent their lives teaching and interpreting and ruling. But they missed Jesus. As religious as they were, they missed Jesus. So a prerequisite of not missing Jesus is not to become more religious. That's not the way that you get around that. In fact, if you won't tell this to very many people, I think the more we get religious, the more we move away from Jesus, not to Him. But these guys missed Jesus. You see, the religious leaders missed Jesus because of who they were. That's why they missed Jesus. And so they missed Jesus, and in doing so, we could say that they denied Jesus. Because to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah would mean that they are no longer necessary. They are no longer significant. And if you'll think about it, folks, that's a big deal to us, isn't it? Oh, it is. We all have points of significance. What's your point of significance? Well, I'm the mayor's not here today, okay? I don't know. Okay. Well, I'm the mayor, okay? Or I'm the president. Or I have 10 grandkids. Or whatever, okay? Have you seen my farm? You know, as human beings, we're always looking for that thing of significance. You ladies think, yeah, those men are like, no. You're looking for that guy that's going to give you significance because I'm with him. We're addicted to it. And these guys could no longer be significant unless they deny Jesus. Because He is going to turn their life upside down. So to acknowledge Jesus as Messiah would mean they're no longer needed. To acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God who came to fulfill the law would mean that they are no longer needed as interpreters of the law. They're out of work. They've got last year's model. Grace has come. And if they acknowledge Jesus, that's what's in store for them. They've got to deny Him. They're denying Jesus because of who they are. They're blinded by the introspection of themselves. We might say they're a legend in their own minds. I mean, we can see many examples of this in Scripture. One was that time in the temple when it was time to pass the offering plate. One of the reasons we don't pass an offering plate here, perhaps. I don't know, okay? You know, where they would come in and they literally would just throw their coins into this container so it would make a loud noise, and the louder the noise, the more people would ooh and ah, and look what he gave, and all this kind of thing. And the widow, remember, the two mites? Okay? You see, they were convinced they were a big deal. And they wanted to stay a big deal. So to stay a big deal, they had to deny Jesus. Their gaze on their own greatness blinded them, such that they could not see Jesus. Jesus was a bridge too far for them. Following him, not denying him, would cost them everything. So it's easier to deny him and preserve who they are than to acknowledge that they know him and follow him. That's them. How you doing on this one? Any group? Any time? Are you aggressive in letting the people know at that time that you know Jesus? Don't answer. No hands, please. Think about it. Or are we like that superficial person a while ago? Well, in certain circles, I have to kind of keep it to myself. Whatever that circle might be. This group denied Jesus. And I think in large part they denied Jesus because they're pretty confused. They're a confused lot. They took Jesus, first of all, to Annas. Annas wasn't the high priest at this time. So why are you taking Jesus to somebody who used to be the high priest? Now, he's been deposed by the Romans. Apparently, he was not the guy they wanted in power, so the Romans got rid of him and replaced him with, I don't know if the Romans replaced it or the Jews had to get somebody else or whatever, but Caiaphas, his son-in-law. But they took him to Annas, who used to be the high priest. So the whole group seems to be confused about who's in charge here. And bless old Caiaphas' heart. The son-in-law living in his father-in-law's shadow. I mean, he has to kind of look up to father-in-law for all his responses and stuff. And they do change all the time, the high priest, that is, always is in a state of change. So the Jews were confused. And when people are confused, they deny Jesus. Because a confused person doesn't know who they are in Christ Jesus, or they're not convinced of it at least. And that confusion, I believe, contributes or brings about this thing of denial. You see, they had an end in mind for Jesus. They had to get rid of him. He can't be. But they can't get rid of him. They need to get somebody else to get rid of him. And they have to find some way to pull this off. Hence all the series of trials that are going to take place in Jesus' life here in these last few hours, in the next few hours for him. And so they have to come up, contrive something, make it sound different, put a good, you know, picture on it, that kind of thing. Today we call that spin. We have to spin it to make it look better or look what it should be when it's not that. Now, I don't know where we'd find that in our country today. Unless about every 30 seconds in the commercials on television advertising somebody who's running for office or something, okay? Yeah, that's what's going on. And what's going on in what it goes on in politics, it goes on in the government, it goes on in the business world, doesn't it, businessmen and women? Well, I know this is what happened, but we can't let people know that this is what happened, so we're going to say this is what happened, and it wasn't our fault. Or something like that. We gotta put some spin on it. Deception. Snowing people. Lie. That's what it is. Lie. Let's just be honest about it. So that's what these guys are doing. They're putting a spin on this. We got to find out a reason why a person who's never sinned did sin when everybody knows that he didn't sin and all he did was good. We've got to convince people that he's worthy to die for that. That's what they're about here. It would have been much easier not to deny him, except for all those things we've already mentioned. Now, the confusion grows greater, okay? They're breaking every law and tradition that they have right and left over this very issue of trying to get Jesus dead. The Sanhedrin is the ruling council, whatever you want to call it, about 70 members, 71 if you count the high priest. He was sometimes known as kind of the president or the chief priest, the high priest. Okay, it changed all the time. The Romans had a say in who it was, as we've just found out. And so this group of 70, that the real power brokers, was made up of the high priest, the former high priest, the scribes, and the ruling elders of the families. So you want to talk about the movers and shakers. That's these guys. And these are the guys that are trying to figure out how to kill Jesus. Yet they can't do it. Legally, they can't do it. All right? And religiously, they can't do it. You see, the death penalty, what they're searching, could not be declared on the day of the trial. This is the day of the trial, and they cannot declare that Jesus is going to die on that day. That's their law, all right? They're violating it. They're going to get around it. They're going to spin it somehow. False evidence was considered in the trial of Jesus. A trial, a court proceeding of any kind, then or today, has to be based on facts, evidence, eyewitnesses, all that kind of thing. And in this particular trial, when they're trying to drum up the evidence to kill Jesus, they manufacture and use false evidence, a violation of their law and tradition. They use false witnesses to testify against Jesus. Again, a travesty for their religious practice. Jesus was physically struck during the proceeding. A no-no. They did it or allowed it to go on. And it was illegal for the Sanhedrin to meet for a capital case on the eve of a Sabbath or feast day. That's now. Passover's tomorrow. They broke all of these laws, all of these traditions. All of these things, they got to find a way to kill him. They're denying Jesus. You see, these Jews were comfortable in their religion. May I ask that of us today? You know, that commercial came out, I'm comfortable in my own skin, okay? Well, are you comfortable in your religion? I pray that you're not. In fact, I pray that you don't have a religion. You say, where did I land today? I thought this was a church. What do you mean? Folks, do you see what religious zealots do and are? Huh? And what they bring about? The death of a sinless man. Do you want to join that group? Oh, it's a place to be. Power Broker USA right there. These are the movers and shakers. But I can strongly advise you today, if you got a religion, get rid of it. Because do you see what happens when we get religious? No, you don't want to be religious. You want a relationship. You see? These guys chose a religion over a relationship. All of the difference in the world. So they were comfortable in their religion. They were content with their status and concerned about their future. We could lose it. And because of that, they denied Jesus. They denied Jesus. They had to deny Jesus. The price for not denying him was too great. We've already established that, I hope. They're going to lose everything. Oh, we had some of them that sought out Jesus, but he came by night in one case. Nicodemus, remember, back in John 3? Came to Jesus at night. What? Come on, Nicodemus, what's the deal? You're a mover and shaker. Step out there, man. No. He came, he knew. I believe he became a disciple. I think some of these other guys became a disciple. We don't know all the names necessarily, but so many people were saved in Jerusalem. I'm thinking some more of these guys did. That's just speculation on my part. But the vast majority of people in Jerusalem came to Christ, and so some of these guys did. But the cost was too great, so they had to, you know, kind of play around the edges. Well, we're back to you and me. You want religion or relationship? Is there anything too important to you that you wouldn't give it up if he asked you to? Is there any situation where you would not be bold about who you are in Christ Jesus? Is there anything that would cause you to deny Jesus or deny following him or to compromise who you are in Christ? Anything? Anything? So the Jewish leaders not only denied Jesus, knowing who he was, they wanted to eliminate him so that no one else would know who he is. Don't raise your hand at this time either, but if you're a true disciple, you'll have to answer that, okay? I don't know. Okay, that you're going to have to answer that. Actually, he's going to have to answer that, but he's going to, there'll be a peace when you say, I'm a disciple. Okay? A disciple, Jesus said, if any man will come after me or woman, they must deny self, take up your cross daily, die to self, and follow me. That's a disciple. Didn't hear anything about church membership in there, did we? Huh? Tithing, did you hear that in there somewhere? No. Deny. Die, follow. If you are a true disciple, you live in lordship. Heard a sermon years ago by a guy by the name of Peter Lord. Most of you don't even know who that is, okay? I'm just saying I'm so old that you weren't alive, you know, okay? But one of the most profound teachings ever on something I knew nothing about, and it was this issue of lordship. You see, if you're a true disciple, when you came to Jesus, and I'm going to get in trouble here, so put your hands over the ears of your little ones, okay, moms and dads. You know, we use this terminology and, you know, ask Jesus to come into your heart, okay? I've had the privilege of, I don't know, scores and scores of little ones. And you know, a lot of them, when you ask them that, they'll do this, look down. It's okay, maybe it communicates with young ones, I don't know. But folks, lordship, if there is residence, if he is in you and you are in him, the result is lordship. That means, as Dwayne likes to say, and just introduced one of our young ladies here last week. That means he's boss. He's in charge. You don't have a vote. No board meetings to attend. Lordship means lordship. And when you came to him, if you're a true disciple, you came to him as Lord and Savior. Always Lord, always Savior. He knows nothing of being your Savior. Only. Nothing. No. That's not the deal. The deal is not get him as your Savior, do what you want to do. When you die, you go to heaven. That's a fabrication from somewhere. That is not New Testament Christianity or discipleship. Discipleship means he is Lord and Savior. That's what you got into. So, if he's your Lord, okay? Now, I don't know if I know any famous people or not. Probably not, okay? But if I knew a famous person, and he was with me today, or she was with me today, better not be she had it, he was with me today, all right? You know, I'd be saying, hey, I don't know if you know Bob or not. You know, this is Bob. Bob? It's Bob. You know Bob? I know Bob. Yeah, we would. We're name droppers. Roy Blunt and I went to fourth grade together at Stratford High School, or Stratford Elementary School. Yeah. Anybody say Roy who? U.S. Senator. Okay. I'm not afraid that you know that. Then why are we afraid that we know Jesus? And he's with us today. You get it? Why are we so bold about the movers and shakers that we know, if we know any, or don't you know so-and-so, that kind of thing? Why are we so bold about that? But the person who means far more than all of them combined, we want to deny that we know him in some circles. So a true disciple lives in lordship. A true disciple never denies Jesus regardless of their status or their perceived status. A true disciple never trades Jesus for positions that they aspire to, i.e. compromise who they are in Christ just to get a job or a promotion or a date or whatever, okay? They never count the cost of following in money or business opportunities. They never let influence in the community keep them from following Jesus. They never let social status, positions, or the right group to ever interfere with the fact that Jesus is my Lord. And they never compromise their life as a disciple just to appease somebody that they want to be accepted by, whether that be family, business, whomever. True disciples live in lordship. Now, is that what you joined when you believed in Jesus? Somebody slip you a bum ticket or something? Or did you know? That's what happened. That's what happened if you are a true disciple. Who you are, who you think you are, never trumps who you are in Christ. Can never be. Everything follows Jesus Christ. And everything is in the context of your Lord and Savior. Everything, all the time. The definition of who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you're with, where you go, when you... all in the context of your relationship with Jesus Christ, who is your Lord. That's what happened if you became his disciple. Deny, die, follow. And when it gets a little bit dicey out there, go right back here. Not to the communion table, but to the cross that the communion table is telling us about. The cross. The cross. He has a right. He has earned the right to be your Lord by what he did with the sin issue in your life when he became Lord and Savior. And that gives him the right to tell you what to do and to tell me what to do. You see? And the disciple does what? Follows. Okay? What does follow mean, Dwayne? Follow. Yeah? You don't follow nothing. You follow someone in this case. And so if he turns this way, you follow him. He turns this way, you follow him. You just always follow him. You never have to make the decision. Think about it. You just follow him. Well, what if he's not going anywhere? Neither do you. What if I'm confused about it? Ask him and he will tell you. Is that the life that you thought you had? Or did you just join a religious group? Pretty empty, isn't it? Really empty. If this is not true in your life, then you join that great host of people, including the ones we looked at this morning, who are living in denial of Jesus Christ. I pray that's not the case. I pray that's not the case. Father, a few hundred people got up this morning, probably took a bath or a shower, put on some decent clothes, got in a car, came to this building. And I didn't see anyone that walked in with a mask on or a disguise of some kind, so that people didn't know they were coming. They came in pretty boldly. And Lord, my sense is that they came boldly because they're not ashamed of you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord. And Father, as I watch the lives of so many, that's borne out. But Lord, if there's somebody here today that's confused about this, and some of the things that we've looked at trouble them greatly at this time. And if they were honest, they would have to say, you know, I look too much like those Jews. Those people who denied Jesus because of who they are. And I'm just not comfortable at any time telling anybody that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If that person is here today, Father, you're full of mercy and grace. And you're not going to beat on them and pound on them. Rather, you're going to extend your arms to them. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because you know, Father, when we answer that grace call, than all that pressure that's on us to fit in or be a big deal or all those kind of things, just melts away. Because we have all we really need when we're in Christ Jesus and related to Him as Lord and Savior. So Lord, You know our hearts. To every person who's not a disciple this morning, a follower of Jesus, call them. You said You would, Holy Spirit. Jesus said You would. Call them. And Lord, not to be mean, but I'm asking You to make them uncomfortable all week long. Constantly extending Your love and mercy and grace to them. Be on the front page of their life all week, Lord. Call to them. For those who this morning cannot say, I'm a true disciple of Jesus Christ, I would never deny Him.